हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय Bhakti Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarana 4 Bhakti is superior to all other sadhanas. So, Anucheda 103. Riti. The following Anucheda clarifies that the path of Astanga Yoga is inappropriate for attaining pure devotion of the Lord. As those engrossed in this approach struggle to overcome material desires such as lust and greed, and consequently, they can never achieve complete satisfaction, the heart. Anucheda 103. Yamad dibhir yoga patai. Kama lobha hato muhuhu. Mukunda sevaya yadvat tatat madha nasamyati. The Atma, constantly afflicted by lust and greed, will not be satisfied by Astanga Yoga and other paths as much as by direct service to Mukunda. Srimad Bhagavatam 1635. Udriti Srila Prabhupada. The whole. So it starts off saying the whole idea that, you know, because of all the contemporary things going on, I thought it said the woke idea. The whole idea is that without devotional service of the Lord, neither the yoga system nor dry philosophical speculation can ever become successful. Pure devotional service of the Lord, without being tinged with fruit of work, mystic yoga, or speculative philosophy, is the foremost procedure to attain self-realization. Such pure devotional service is transcendental in nature, and the systems of yoga and jnana are subordinate to such a process. When the transcendental devotional service is mixed with a subordinate process, it is no longer transcendental, but is called mixed devotional service. Srila Vyasadeva, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam, will gradually develop all these different systems of transcendental realization in the text. Srimad Bhagavatam 1635 purport. Right? So he's talking about how all these elements are being practiced. So the different devotees that you see going through Srimad Bhagavatam then have the other elements of that are mixed. But you see then with Sri Paladmaj, then that aspect of, you know, very nicely detailed where there, you know, other things aren't mixed. Now, that doesn't mean that before that, that the people, the devotees' devotional service was mixed, just they were using those other paths and showing how to connect them to Krishna. Because the point is, you know, we understand about these mixed elements, but that means the consciousness is mixed. But then you have the aspect of is that, the devotees may use these aspects as part of their occupational duties or that, depending on their situation that they're in. But they themselves, the intent is it's not mixed. It's still, it's only their assisting pure devotional service. They have nothing to gain from the elements of karma, jnana, yoga that are used. Does that make sense? So we see there, especially in like fifth, sixth cantos, or Vidura, you know, so they're discussing all the knowledge and all that. And, but it's about devotional service. But what we see with Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't, because he's, you know, at the time, he doesn't have to mix anything or doesn't have to use any other process than just hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord. That. Thus it is said, Na sadhyayati mam yogo. Na shankyam dharmam uddhava. Na svadhyayas tapas tyago yata bhaktir mamorjita. O Uddhava, I am attained by unmixed bhakti. I cannot be attained by mystic yoga, Shankhya philosophy, Dharma, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-20. Udriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Quote, just as bhakti is the means of attaining you, other processes like jnana and yoga should be means to attain you. Since they have a little portion of bhakti's excellence. End quote. So this then he is giving the doubt that is coming up from the other party, hearing about the glories of bhakti and devotional service, and that all these other positions only function because of devotional service. In other words, there's some bhakti mixed in with the karma and jnana to make it work. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You know, just like an item for eating, by putting the salt, then it brings out the flavor. There's some seeming, you know, there is some element of flavor there, but it's only with the salt you bring it out. Right? But the salt is independent. Salt is salty. It's not dependent upon, you know, the vegetables or the grains or beans to make it salty. But the others, they're dependent upon. So its flavor and all that's dependent upon the salt. Right? So that's the thing, is that, so they're saying, okay, because some salt is mixed in there, some bhakti is mixed in there, then it should also be a means to attain you. Because it has, it means we're saying that only by bhakti does karma and jnana work. Therefore, then these systems, these paths of karma and jnana should also be able to attain Krishna, right? They should also be able to bring you forward because they have that bhakti mixed in it, you know, so that's the doubt that's brought up. Two purses answer. So this is the Acharya giving his uttaram. These processes are not means of attaining me. I am attained by strong urjita bhakti unmixed with karma jnana. Sardartha Darshani 11:14-20. Narada spoke thus to Vyas. Right? So here we see Narada spoke thus to Vyas. Because then here is that the aspect is that Vyasadeva had been, you know, showing the people how to elevate themselves and all these things like that. And, you know, it's a nice thing, but he was not satisfied, you know, like that. That's the point of mixing here. They won't be satisfied by any of these. These other processes can't satisfy the living entity. Why? Because they don't satisfy the supreme living entity. And only when Krishna is satisfied, then we can be satisfied, because he is satisfaction. He is happiness. You know, he is rasa. Whatever it is we're looking for, he is that. So only when we connect ourselves with him, then we can get that same, we can take part in that aspect of satisfaction. So here is that's the point, as he mentioned before, even though that little bit of bhakti is mixed to make it work, because it can't work otherwise, because there is nothing else that works. I mean, you think about it, if the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, then that means, then since the spiritual world, it's all about serving Krishna, they don't have any other action. Right? They don't have any other knowledge. They don't have any other meditation. So then if you reflect to the material world, but the material world is all about not making it about Krishna, but all activities that the living entity will perform here still are a reflection of the spiritual world, but they're being done without bhakti, right? It means bhakti is added to make it function, because that's all the actions in the spiritual world are based on bhakti. That's the essence of them. So that means here, to make it work in the reflection, there also has to be the element of bhakti. But because the attitude or the intent of the living entity is not bhakti, bhakti doesn't give the result of bhakti. You know, bhakti only gives the result of bhakti if the intent is for devotional service. So that's why, Baladev Vidyabhushan points out that pure devotional service, or that which its intent is to attain pure devotional service, they all give the spiritual result. They all give that transcendental result. So here then the clever person is pointing out, okay, because bhakti's there, now it should all go, because we've already defeated them, that they don't work without bhakti. You know, so therefore bhakti is independent and they're not the ones to elevate. So then they cleverly catch, oh, but since bhakti's mixed, therefore that can take you forward. But the point is bhakti is there, but because it's not devotion to Krishna, it's just devotion to whatever it is, to your actions to get result, to your knowledge to get freed, liberated, or for your yoga and all that to get fulfill your, material desires, that it's not bhakti. Therefore, bhakti doesn't give that result. So no, it won't give you. So Krishna is pointing out here, no, by nothing else, bhakti unmixed with karma and jnana. That means when we're talking about what we're meaning in these others means you have karma, misra, bhakti, so it has to become pure, unmixed. But what we're talking about on these others, they're using bhakti, misra, karma, right? Because that's how it works. So if they do that properly, they're following the shastra, they're following authority, they're doing it on the order of, of their guru, with that kind of mood and affection, they're trying to, appreciate the supreme and all that, but their only interest is the material thing. It's not actually bhakti. So they will, by that bhakti, Mr. Karma, they will get their results that they're looking for, but not bhakti. But the devotee, because he wants bhakti, but due to habit, then it might be karma, Mr. Bhakti. So then the point is he's doing it for bhakti, though he's not necessarily mature. So he'll be advancing in devotional service. Then at the same time as as Krishna sees as appropriate, he will his material facilities and all that will also be there and be taken care of. But with time, then he'll be less and less interested in that. Therefore, the quality of bhakti is better. Therefore, the advancement also becomes quicker. So this was all being explained to Vyasadeva by Narad Muni because he had written all the Vedic literature so that everybody could gradually advance. So in other words, the Vedic literature and, how it's presented, before up to Mahabharata, technically speaking, is soft preaching. It is being that, how in your position and you do and all these things. But, it mentions the bhakti, but it's not specifically seeing everything in that context, though that is what it's all about. There is nothing else, but the presentation is that whatever is there. So Narad Muni is pointing out, because you've done that, you're not satisfied because you didn't speak just directly that this is it. Because the others, they may become confused. We talk about bhakti and worship of the Supreme is the topmost, but at the same time, you're also saying that it's, doing your karma and your duties is a very good and important thing. It can't be neglected. But, he's not making the connection that it's pure devotional service is actually all you're supposed to be doing. These other things, it's only because you're attached, you're engaging. So in the Bhagavatam, then that becomes very clear. So therefore, he's brought out nicely in the first canto this point, in his discussion with Narad Muni, and then his realization of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Then he can nicely present it. And then you can also be situated, engaging karma yoga. So in the beginning, we're engaging because of an interest or a need or an attachment or just being comfortable. But with time, it's just because that's the duty. So therefore, you see the kings in the fifth and sixth cantos, they're performing their duties because that's what's supposed to be done. And as a king, that's what they do. Therefore, then they do all these nice rituals and everything because then the common person who may not be so interested or not so well situated, they'll at least be pious and do all those things nicely. But at the same time, as we see from what it said in the verses, that the kings were just interested in pure devotion. So they themselves, it wasn't mixed bhakti. They were just using it as a support. So that's the wonderful thing is that because there is only bhakti, you can only make everything work with bhakti. Therefore, if you follow the Vedic system, everything is connected through. And then it becomes elevating and brings you to the mode of goodness. And from that, you can easily appreciate, or more easily appreciate moving forward in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, as I mentioned in that previous point, is that you know, about the point of giving up the fruits of one's action. That is also recommended here because by the practice of giving up the fruits of one's activities, one is sure to purify his mind gradually. And in that purified state of mind, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness. Of course, Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any other experience because Krishna consciousness itself can purify the mind. But if there are impediments to accepting Krishna consciousness, one may try to give up the results of his actions. So these are just if there's impediments in one's own, then one engages them. But with time, then one has to know it's about pure devotional service. So in the beginning, someone's performing his activities, prescribed duties, because he wants the material benefit. And that touch of bhakti that's there to make it work doesn't give the fruit of bhakti because he's not interested. Then by performing that, with time, he becomes purified. Then when he meets the devotees, then he can appreciate Krishna consciousness. So then he takes it up. He's still situated in his point of karma. And so then he's performing those activities and, you know, and being Krishna conscious. So now he wants Krishna consciousness actually. And at the same time, he's very comfortable with his material situation. But as he goes more and more, he becomes more impurified. Then he starts to understand the independence of bhakti and the point of pure devotion. And that only will satisfy the soul. That's what he's actually looking for, even in the elements of karma and jnana. So then he gives up the idea of using those for his material benefit. He only uses them to engage in Krishna's service, if that is still a favorable position. If it's come to that, it's not a favorable position, then he'll give them up. But otherwise, then he's just engaging them, but they're not, the results of them are not his purpose. Just like the cook in the kitchen who's cooking for the deities or the devotees, his purpose is not to get nice things to eat. His purpose is to simply please Krishna by the result of, I mean, by performing your activities in relationship to Krishna. So he has that ability to cook, or, you know, is comfortable cooking. So he cooks for Krishna, but it's not about he's trying to get any benefits in the way of something nice to eat or recognition from the devotees or whatever it might be. Yes, we're good. Yeah. Okay. Vriti, in the next Anucheda, it is explained that the path of knowledge, which seeks impersonal liberation, is fraught with challenges. Those who downplay the significance of bhakti and instead endeavor for impersonal realization ultimately encounter only suffering. Anucheda 104 and 105. Bhakti superiority is shown by disrespect for jnana. Jnana is difficult to perform. Panena te deva kata sujaya pravridha bhaktya vishadasyaya ye. Vairagya saram prati labhya bodham yatha gyasadvir akunta dishnam akunta dishnyam. Okay. O Lord, those materialists who attain strength and realization of the Lord's sweetness by pure bhakti, increased through drinking the nectar of your pastimes, quickly attained by Kunta. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.46. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the impersonalistic mental speculators and the pure devotees of the Lord is that the former passes through a miserable understanding of the absolute truth at every stage, whereas the devotees enter into the kingdom of all pleasures, even from the beginning of their attempt. The devotee has only to hear about devotional activities, which is as simple as anything in ordinary life. And he also acts very simply, whereas the material speculator has to pass through a jugglery of words, which are partially facts and partially a make show for the maintenance of an artificial impersonal status. Right? So, this is part true. You know, it's based on partly facts. It's not necessarily truth, but it's facts. that you have the aspect of that the Lord is, pervading everything, right? And he is controlling everything, but that's not the highest position. So these elements, then they're based on Shastra, and that the living entity is Brahman. He's not the body. So he all these, but then it's a make show, because then you're trying to say is that the living entity is God, and when he merges, he becomes the whole thing. It's like one drop of water put in the ocean, now it becomes as big as the ocean. But the whole point is that then you'd have two oceans. No, so he's still 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Doesn't matter, And so all these different things, and that's the perfection and all, that's the make show. So it's for those living entities who only want to go up to that point, then it's given. But the devotees are very kind. They actually give truth, because that's why the first verse of Bhagavatam says being able to tell the difference in matter and spirit, and the controller of both, then that is actually there, because they're taking matter and spirit. They're taking the spirit as the absolute position. It's absolute, but it's not the absolute position. Bhagavan's the absolute position, right? In spite of his strenuous efforts, jnani, to attain perfect knowledge, the impersonalist attains merging into the impersonal oneness of the Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, which is also attained by the enemies of the Lord simply because of their being killed by him. The devotees, however, attain to the highest stage of knowledge and renunciation and achieve the Vaikuntha Lokas. The Vaikuntha Lokas, the planets in the spiritual sky. The impersonalist attains only the sky and does not achieve any tangible transcendental bliss. Whereas the devotee attains to the planets where real spiritual life prevails. With a serious attitude, the devotee throws away all other achievements like so much dust. And he accepts only devotional service, the transcendental culmination. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:5:46 purport. Yeah, so he only attains the sky that's, around the planets. They don't attain the planets. So therefore, it's not tangible transcendental bliss. There is some bliss inherent in the soul because of their Satchitananda. They're part and parcel of Krishna. So because of that element of being part and parcel and having that fragment of bliss, therefore there is some happiness in it, but it's not a dynamic, it's not tangible, it's just you can experience it, right? So it's only aparoksha, you can experience it, but it's not directly perceived. So that's why it brings to the point of going to the planets, then you can directly perceive the relationship with Krishna and the interactions and the wonderfulness of Krishna and his pastimes with his devotees. That's direct. You can actually tangibly. But the other one is just I am Brahma. You focus too much on that, then you can't experience. You just experience it. It's there, but you want to do something with it. Right? If I'm experiencing something and it's really nice, I want to do something. Right? This is really good. I want to act. So that's Anubhav. When there's the Vibhava, then, there's an inspiration there. Then you want to act as Anubhava. But the problem is, as soon as they want to act as Anubhava, then they're not absorbed. They're not experiencing that I am a Brahman. And so therefore, then they drop out of that and then stop experiencing that. And depending on what it is, they drop out to the point where they have to come to the material world to engage their senses. So it's not tangible. You can't grasp it. It's just like in your sleep, you can say, yeah, I slept well, but how do you know? I can't explain. It's just, I was experiencing, but if you're experiencing, then you're aware. And then if you're aware, you're not asleep. Yes, Pandavji.
Maharaj just wants to mention, so interesting that even the Mayavadi situation, although they try to be impersonalist, is explained only in personal terms. They cannot avoid their persons.
Mm. Yeah, no, very good. Very interesting point. Yeah, because it's always I am, how you say, I am Narayan. But it's like I, the individual, am Narayan, the individual. but we're merged and now everything's this. But at the same time, even though they've merged, they still expect you as an individual to respect them as an individual, as Narayana, and give them all the due respect and worship that goes with it. So it's very, that's a very nice point. Whatever they do, it's still all connected with the personal. Because that's all there is. The living entities are personal. It means they have identity and they have individuality. So they give up the individuality by taking identity. I am God. But the point is you as an individual are still an individual. So even you merge in the ocean, you know, you're still an individual in that ocean. You know, so even though the living entity may merge in Brahman, which is Krishna, the, you know, his qualities, but we're still just a small fraction portion of that. We're not the whole thing. So it's just false ego. They think I become the whole. No, you become part of the whole. Like a drop of mustard seed into a sack of mustard seeds, it becomes part of the whole sack. When you say, yeah, there's a sack of mustard seed. My identity, yeah, it's there. But at the same time, it's still individual. You can still find it there. Yes? Okay.
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. In Gita, it is said, who are the best knowers of yoga? Those devotees who worship you, as just described, with desire to constantly associate with you, or those who first, or, oh, I see, this is a question. I thought it was one of those, you know, who's the best, and then they answer it. He's pointing at the two. Who are the best knowers of yoga? Those devotees who worship you as described with desire to constantly associate with you, or those who first worship the Atma? Then Krishna replies, I consider those who absorb their minds in me, who constantly desire to associate with me, and who with firm faith worship me, to be the quickest to attain me. Right? Because the others will have to go up, get some taste, let them drop back down again, and then, you know, try again. And, you know, eventually all living entities go back to Godhead, because at some point they all take up devotional service properly, you know, from, you know, sampradayic devotional service. But it takes them so long to get there. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. Right? They will at last, at some point, everyone will get there. Like that. And so just their position is, you know, they've already on that first step of God realization. And then from there, they just have to go to the second and then to the final, the third of Bhagavan. Those who are attached to the Atma encounter extreme difficulties. Concentrating on the invisible Atma brings suffering to those who have bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:1-5. Right? Srila Prabhupada. The group of transcendentalists who follow the path of the inconceivable, unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called Jnana Yogis. And persons who are in full Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service to the Lord, are called Bhakti Yogis. Now, here the difference between Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is definitely expressed. The process of Jnana Yoga, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome, whereas the path of Bhakti Yoga, the process of being in direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is easier and is natural for the embodied soul. The individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he is not the body. Therefore, the Bhakti Yoga accepts the deity of Krishna as worshipable because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind, which can thus be applied. Right? So because we are applying our consciousness and identity with matter, therefore the Lord comes to us in the form of matter that we can relate to him. But it's still him, the Lord. It's just that he comes through that so we with our senses can appreciate. Right? So for the devotee, there is no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately, directly. But for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult because they're just going, they're taking that I am the soul, they've had the embodied concept for so long, and they naturally identify with the conditioned nature. And so then to suddenly give that up simply by a theoretical understanding, you know, then that becomes very difficult. And so the Lord coming as the deity, coming as all the different activities we can perform and all that for him, then we, even though we might be still externally identifying with it to some degree because it's in connection with the Lord and our intent is devotional service, where we advance and we move forward in devotional service till the point we come to where we see ourselves as Krishna's eternal servant, right? And rather than just the soul, we see as servant, because the soul, yeah, that's what you're made of. But what's it for? Just like the car is made out of metal and plastic and rubber and some whatever else is the ingredients that are there and that. But it's for driving. That's the point. It's for driving around. If you're not driving around, what's the point? You know. So the living entity, just being focused on the living entity as the soul, just that much. That's a beginning, because then you're separating that I am the body and all that. And no, I'm the soul. But then the point is I'm the soul. I'm servant of Krishna. So that when the impersonalist comes to that point, that's when they go back to Godhead. You know, and then they're very, very close to Krishna. So that's the thing, is they're very, very close, but they have their back to Krishna. If they turn around, they're already on the liberated platform. And so therefore, because there's nothing getting in the way, there's no material attachments, therefore very quickly they move forward in pure devotional service. The example being the four Kumaras. And so they're on the liberated platform. And so because they're liberated, then there's no problem for them in worshiping the Supreme Lord, because they see everything as Brahman. It's just that, you know, there's variety within the Brahman, but they're only appreciating that level of Brahman. They haven't taken it beyond. Because you're on that Brahman platform, doesn't mean that you can't appreciate, individuality and variety. It's just that it's just the point that's important about it. It's Brahman. You know, just like, let's say you have all varieties. If you appreciate money, the value of money, it doesn't matter what currency you have, you see the value in it. Right? But the point is each one may have, you know, like, yeah. So the point is it's not that the impersonalist says, oh, but once you see the Brahman, then you can't see anything. It's all illusion. No, it's fine that it's there. But you're only interested in that feature of it that it's Brahman. You know, so if you're going to interact with it, then you have to start working with the platforms of the differences. You know, so to that much you need to do, you know, like Sukadev Goswami. He also then is on that Brahman platform. But then when he heard the verses concerning Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna, then and the glories of Krishna and his beauty, then he switches over, just like the four Kumaras. They smell the Tulsi at the lotus feet of the Lord. And then they can compare this, that this is way more wonderful than the feeling of being absorbed in Brahman. And that feeling of being absorbed by Brahman is way better than the material world. But this is way better than that. And so it can't be material, so this must be transcendental. So therefore, then they surrender to the Lord and take up pure bhakti. So they're already on the liberated platform, and then they just take up rendering service. So, yes, you know, or Prakashananda Saraswati and his sannyasis, that his disciples, when they understood the position of bhakti over the path of jnana, then they immediately just switched, and now they're already in an advanced position. You know, so that's the only advantage to the Vedic system, is that you're always situated in something position that does have core elements that are useful in bhakti. So depending upon how pious it is and how what is the recommendation, then it may be the formula that it has. You can use it as it is, or you just have to stick to the principle. You know, just like, let's say, we're worshiping Krishna, but for, Satya Narayan Puja or something where we're just seeing it's Brahman in the form of the motive, you know, the supreme form of the motive goodness. But we know that Krishna from the Shastras likes the, you know, the white flowers, you know, like that, like jasmines and that, because they have a nice fragrance. So we're offering them to the Lord. We're doing the puja, we're doing the Shodasha Upachara, and we're doing all these things. But we're only doing it as part of our karma jnana, that we're just thinking that this is how I'm going to attain my position of the heavenly planets and liberation. But when I meet the devotee, because in doing that, I may come across devotees doing some program and worshiping the Lord. And so I take part in that. Then I hear about pure devotional service. I'm convinced. So now I take it up. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to continue worshiping Vishnu with those nice white flowers. But now it's going to be in devotion rather than in karma jnana. So my position is already very solid. So Vismarta becomes a devotee. Then they're already following the lifestyle the devotee does, just that it wasn't Krishna's descent, though they had some other deity. You know, even if they're Vaishnavs, then, you know, are worshiping Vishnu, that they call themselves Vaishnavs, but still it's Brahman is their supreme goal, you know. So it's not that the personal form is the supreme, but now now they understand the absolute position. So nothing changes. You know, or if someone is pious and they have a basic lifestyle, they're vegetarian, you know, they dress in traditional dress, they keep their house clean, all that, it'll be also very easy for them. But, you know, for the general kind of practices, it'll be very easy. For more technical things, then not as easy. But it can be learned if it's, found interesting. And if not, then their position can be very nicely engaged, you know. But, you know, and so, but the difficulty, yeah. The how you say, and then you have the position of those who are outside of the Vedic culture, then their lifestyle, very minimal of any detail, has anything to do with what you would do in Krishna consciousness. And principles that you might be following that might be of use, you don't even know the importance of them or where they come from anyway. So it's totally unscientific. Even if, you know, somebody has done an analysis on you know, whether quinoa is going to make you into Superman or not, but it's still not actually scientific, because they don't say when you eat it, how you eat it, what's your consciousness when you eat it, what's the pure, nothing. There's no regulation. So there's no human element. They're just talking about that this seems to have a result on the body, but they don't talk about the individual and the culture and all that. So it's still not going to do much for you, right? So then they take up devotional service. Then it's obvious that you can see the material world is not nice, and so devotional service is. And so then maybe one may take it up with determination, and by that determination, that will bring you very nicely forward to Krishna. You're facing Krishna, you're moving forward to Krishna. The Vedic life, and that you can get conditioned by the mode of goodness, so you don't see the determination so much. And so then, you may not be moving forward very quickly, though the activities you're doing are pious and they are less contaminating. They're more favorable for devotional service if you take it up, but you may not. So that's the other is that, you are suffering. And if at some point you wonder why, like that, then you take it up with great determination. So that's the point, is that bhakti is independent. Now, if one, by taking up the bhakti, and then one, gets situated and regulated, but then he becomes conditioned by that and is okay, there's no real importance to move forward very quickly, or one's not thinking about it. Of course, if one discusses it, one will always say. But then one may slow down the bhakti. Now, if you have somehow or another practiced very nicely, or you have the good qualities, the conditioned qualities are of a higher quality, that the principle is something you can be aware of in that, and you're comfortable with the practice. And that, then you situate the emotional goodness is there. And, you know, you're still going to move forward in Krishna consciousness, though maybe not as determined, or is focused, but it'll be regular and will move forward. But if one doesn't have those, conditioned qualities, then if one goes into that point of goodness that it's not so important, one starts to become distracted by, the elements of one's previous position. So therefore, one gets distracted by the social positions, economic positions of, being knowledgeable or academic or these other elements like that. And so then one may be much more, and if one doesn't have a practice or a natural piety for these more regulated activities, then one will take up a position that's not very regulated or not very good. And so then it won't be as strong. So though one is still engaged in devotional service, the quality of the lifestyle is less than the person who is conditioned by goodness by following the Vedic culture. So philosophically, one's still strong and one's still doing some aspects of direct devotional service, because generally the chanting stays. And, going to kirtans, taking prasad, attending big festivals, associating with devotees. So the direct activities are still there, though they're not as focused as before and the volume may not be. So he's still better situated. That's why it's said that someone who is not necessarily situated properly on the path of piety, then but they're devotees, then they're still glorious. And so we see many may fall into that kind of thing. They'll fall back to whatever previously they called piety, and so the lifestyle is not that great, but they're still devotees, so they're still better than someone following the Vedic culture very nicely, but it's not a devotee. But it's still not a strong position, because one can get distracted by thinking all these other things are important and all. Yeah. So that focusing on the point of I'm the Atman and all that, that's the point of Vijnana Maya, but it'll still be difficult. So it's only on Ananda Maya that where it's absorbed in Krishna and all that. We're absorbed in the Supreme Soul in our relationship with Him. That won't be so difficult. But just focusing, I'm not the body, I can't do this, shouldn't do that, this kind of things, that will be much more difficult. Well, if you're just absorbed in Krishna, you're doing service for Krishna, it's time for lunch, you take prasadam, you're associating with the devotees, so everything will go very, very much more smoothly, much more easy. Yeah? So for a devotee, there is no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly. But for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, and they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and realize all these procedures. Right, non-perceptual feelings means in other words, they're hearing from the field of paroksha, but then they have to come to the point of paroksha that they can appreciate the non-perceptual feelings like that. And so these kind of aspects, it's very difficult.
Maharaj,
yes,
they're hearing. But they deep inside know that what they're hearing is ultimately illusion too, because the words are illusion. So it's such a contradiction, very hard.
Yeah, very hard for the living entity, which is who is an individual and who is personal, to have to function on this impersonal path. It's just that they become frustrated with the personal endeavor they've been making in karma, and it's not working for them, so they take up the impersonal. Right. So it's not actually really an improvement. It's more pious. It's the higher level of consciousness, because they've understood the falsity of the material enjoyment, but they haven't, it's as Prabhupada used, what was that word he used? Make show. It's a make show of spiritual life, because it's only the first step. You're only dealing with sat. And since the soul is Satchitananda, unless you deal with Satchitananda, it's not tangible. It's only everything's eternal, everything's existing. So the chair over there is eternal, not in the form of a chair, but in the form of the atoms that the chair is made out of. So it will transfer into something else. When we get tired of the chair, we'll throw it out into the garbage. You know, it will float down the river, end up in the middle of the ocean. And then, you know, some ship will come along at some point and then harvest all the, you know, non-biodegradables out in the ocean, melt it down, and then they'll make it into something else, a plastic bottle that you're getting your water in or this or that. And then, you know, it'll keep going. And then at the end of the, at the end of the devastation, it'll all disappear, merge back into the Lord, back into Pradhan. But the end of the individual atoms still exist. They're just merged all together into a Khichdi. So you can't see. It's just this. Yeah. And so the everything has that eternalness, but the point is the, how it is, and we think we're going to enjoy it. That's not there, but they're not replacing it. They're not bringing it to the point of what's a real chair, what's a real body, what's a real action. And so that neutral point is very, very difficult. You know, it's just like, okay, I've been eating nonsense, so I'm getting sick, so therefore I will not eat, so therefore I won't get sick. So in the beginning, it seems to work. If I start fasting, of course, then I'm going to not be causing as much distress to the body. So at least for, you know, the first few days, it will be an improvement. You know, the body is all that. But at some point, then it's not going to be an improvement. And then I have to go back to eating again. And since I only know nonsense eating, I don't know proper eating. Therefore, I'll get sick again. You know, it's just again, cycle. But if I come in contact with someone who tells me what's the proper thing to eat, then eating that, then both the health gets better and I'm, you know, everything moves forward. Okay. Okay. This is not very easy for a common man. So very intellectual person could get into this, but it's going to be dry for them also, but at least it's a difficulty that they can relate to. And for a common person, it's just, you know, impossible, right? A person in Krishna consciousness engaged in devotional service simply by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, simply by offering regulative obeisances unto the deities, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and simply by eating the remnants of foodstuff offered to the Lord, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. There is no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end, right? They may have some understanding, because even from the material platform, if you talk about all-pervading, all-knowing aspects of the Lord, they can acknowledge that, yeah, that kind of thing they can relate to. So even those who say they're atheists, they can relate to that. You know, yeah. You know, unless they're too much into the Buddhist, and then there's just nothing, right? But the personalist, without any risk, trouble, or difficulty, approaches the Supreme Personality directly, right? So that's the thing, is they don't get to the ultimate end, the impersonalists. They only get to the sat part. You know, and then you bring in the knowledge, okay, then the sat and the chit. But then when that comes forward, then that's why the kumaras can have that knowledge and be absorbed, but not see the personal aspect. That's the important part. It means that, you know, so then when they take it up, then it becomes very nice. A similar passage appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that if one ultimately has to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is a surrendering process called bhakti, this surrendering process, but instead takes the trouble to understand what is Brahman and what is not Brahman and spends his whole life in that way, the result is simply troublesome, right? Means we know it's like that, but we focus on, okay, I'm not this body, so therefore I engage the body in Krishna service. Not I'm not this body, and so therefore I'm simply trying to separate myself. That separation part, or these things where you look at it with the analytical view, is just to separate off our attachment to the thing, and that being our motive. When we see that, then it's a matter we immediately replace it with, what will be the devotional service to engage that in Krishna service, right? Unless it's something you're separating off because it's useless. So therefore, then, but at the same time, it's what are you going to replace it with? You're going to do something for Krishna. So it's always going to have that point, is that it's only used for that moment. We don't spend our time there. You know, it's just like you tell what's the different, you know, you go through the basket, what's the good vegetables and what vegetables have a problem, and you separate it. You don't now keep focusing on what the bad vegetables are there and, you know, follow them into the garbage can. And, no, now it's just immediate. We separated. Now we just use the good ones. Right? Unless, of course, we were going out to, you know, some vaudeville production, then we'd want to take those bad vegetables with us to, you know, to the program. And if we don't like the performance, we can throw that at the people that are, you know, doing the performance. You know, like that, if you want to take that line. But we're looking at the positive, that you're doing something nice. It's about Krishna, not just, oh, to please my senses by going to the show, and they don't please it, so therefore I throw the rotten cabbage at them. Right? Therefore, it is advised here that one should not take up this troublesome path of self-realization, because there's uncertainty in the ultimate result, right? Because if that's all you're going to use as your process, it's not going to get you. You can't guarantee it will get you beyond, because all you're working about is the transcendental, the spiritual position, but you're not taking up the transcendental. And so the ultimate result is on the transcendental. And once one gets to that position, one doesn't come back to the material world. That's an eternal position. But coming to the platform of Brahman, only onto that spiritual platform, you can go from that back into the other, you have the other three. Because if by performing Dharma Artha Kama, I get sick of it, I switch to moksha. If I get tired of moksha, I switch back to Dharma Artha Kama. That's why it's said, because of the satisfaction there, I switch to sense gratification. I want to be satisfied, because they're performing the Dharma ultimately to get sense gratification. And but the Dharma gives the artha I get the sense gratification. So from moksha, you think of what's your goal now, it's sense gratification. So basically the goal can be my sense gratification, or, you know, an anamoy, or Krishna's sense gratification in an anamaya. Right? And so Krishna is the center. That excuse me, that becomes useful. But ourself, it's never proven to be any good. So therefore then the living entity boy. Okay, the living entity is just 1 second. Right. It started to rain a bit, so it got cooler. So now the fan that was necessary before now becomes a problem. That's the difficulty in the material world. Right? But in the spiritual world, the variety, it just creates a different thing. So, you know, you're going to do something different. So those devotees that were fanning because of what was there in the pastimes, you know, serving Radha and Krishna, then they'll give that up and do now something else. Because when the fan is there, you have certain activities. When the fan's not there, you have other activities. When it gets cold, then you make a fire. Like it's mentioned in the 64 arts, that, you know, at least with Radharani, her list, then knowing how to use a chamara and how to make a fire, they're considered the same art. So in other words, one is how to deal when it's too hot, and one is how to deal when it's too cold, how to make the arrangements. Right? So the principle is how to make them comfortable. Right? The techniques are only simple, you know, how to use the wind, because the fire, it's also how does the wind work. Right? Yeah. So therefore, for the devotee, he focuses on Krishna rather than focusing on the negative. he's focusing on the positive, because it's the positive it's going to give Krishna, right? Not the negative. So that's the point there, is that the devotee is focusing on the positive. I mean, he knows the negative, so he doesn't, you know the negative, so you always are doing the positive. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. So what makes you forget, you give those up, so therefore you always remember. A living entity is eternally an individual soul. Now, if he wants to merge into the spiritual whole, he may accomplish the realization of the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original nature. But the blissful portion is not realized, right? So that's why it's going to be difficult. We say, it's not going to be that great. You say, no, no, but it's all the same. It's spiritual, but it's spiritual without ananda. It's only sat, a solid basis of sat and a bit of chit, because they don't actually know who they are fully and who's the Lord and their relationship and all that. So you can't really say the chit, because if chit is properly understood, you engage in devotional service, because chit is the Abhideya principle. But they give up all action. So like the Buddhists are the most extreme, give up everything. But here it's a matter of, no, you engage in Krishna's service, give up the material and engage, immediately replace it with something spiritual. I mean, with the transcendental position. It's just like when the child may be out in the yard and picking up and eating a piece of dirt, but the mother will take that away and give them something nice to eat, you know, like a sandesh. And then by that, then he's not, loses his interest in the dirt. By the grace of some devotee, such a transcendentalist, highly learned in the process of jnana yoga, may come to the point of bhakti yoga or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble, because he cannot give up the idea. So here he's pointing out, as he gets attached to that, you know, it's just like, okay, someone has done something hard. He's worked very hard on something. Like they see sometimes, you know, devotees will do a service and all that, and when it's over, that's done, and they move on to the next. But some, they know that aspect becomes important. So let's say someone's worked very hard, gotten a degree, and that then they carry on. They must. It's important that they, it's seen that they have that degree, and they're recognized for that because they work so hard, you know. Well, for the devotee, its only value is this use for Krishna, and if it's a time to use it, you use it. And if it's not a time, you use something else, like that. So that's the thing: is the problem with the becoming advanced in the impersonal path is the attachment to it. You know, attachment to it is no trouble, but you're already in trouble. You get conditioned by the trouble, because we have to remember, being on the fourth of moksha, it's still within the realm of the Mahatattva, so it's still trouble, right? So that's the thing. Is one impersonalist was telling Atmatattva, he was mentioning something about, you know, he was discussing, and he could understand what Atmatattva was talking about, how the weakness in the impersonal path. And this person was quite a very well known scholar in Shankara, you know, Mayavad Advaita philosophy. But he said, the problem is once you get into this, you're stuck. You know, it's just, it may take you a million lifetimes to get out of it. And so it kind of like, he already knew this. But it's that they're attached to it, and the position and whatever comes with it, and the experiences and all that. So that's why it's, these paths of karma and jnana aren't recommended. We use what we need. That's Daiva Varnashram. We're not saying that we establish this full-blown Vedic system that has all these elements that aren't so useful in Krishna's service. No, we're talking about only those parts where the Varnashram supports, like in Vrindavan, everything there supports, or in Dwarka it supports, or in Vaikuntha it supports. You know, so for us, yeah, the Daiva Varnashram that supports. And here, because the environment is simpler, we can use the simpler forms of it. And all, but the point is that it's only for its support and nothing else. But he cannot give up the ideal. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization. Right? So that's always, so that's why we don't get too distracted by these things. In the same way, you get too distracted by the mundane. I'm a professional. I'm an academic. Oh, I'm a big, you know, manager. Oh, I am a rich person. I'm powerful. And then you get distracted and then they become trouble for you. Like that. So that's why the simple aspect of the devotee just identifies as servant of Krishna and then things work very nicely. Yeah? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai.